This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Organizers of the No Kings protest say they expect millions of people to turn out today at more than 2,000 events around the country protesting some Trump administration policies. Republicans are calling it hate America rallies. President Trump's not in Washington, but while traveling to Florida for the weekend, he called on Russia and Ukraine to stop fighting.
You stop at the battle line and both sides should go home, go to their families, stop the killing, and that should be it.
That followed his White House meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky the day after he spoke by phone with Vladimir Putin. The president commuted the 7-year prison sentence for former Congressman George Santos for campaign finance and fraud crimes. The president said he always had the courage, conviction, and intelligence to vote Republican. 3 home runs and 10 strikeouts from Shohei Ohtani, an all-time effort, helped the Los Angeles Dodgers get back to the World Series. They swept the Milwaukee Brewers. This is ABC News. Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy says flood damage to remote villages last weekend so extreme that many of the 2,000 people displaced won't be able to return home for at least 18 months. Coast Guard Petty Officer Teddy Kirsch was part of the largest airlift operation in state history.
I can't imagine what those people are going through. I'm from Houston, Texas. I'm no stranger to these types of storms, but being on the other end of the rescue operation, I will forever be affected. My crew personally rescued 18 people.
The FAA gave Boeing the green light to produce more 737 MAX airplanes, now up to 42 per month, up from a cap of 38 that was put in place after a door plug blew off an Alaska Airlines jet in flight. The FAA says the increase followed extensive safety reviews. And Britain's Prince Andrew says he'll no longer use his royal titles amid new scrutiny over his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. As the climate shifts, so does the science behind growing cranberries. Reporter Melissa Kay has more.
Staff at the Wisconsin Cranberry Research Station are working to ensure the future of the state's signature fruit by studying how cranberries can tolerate extreme temperatures and finding ways to extend the harvest season to reduce labor and equipment demands.
The inability to change in a changing environment is the textbook definition of extinction.
That's Grant Hawley, the executive director of the nonprofit Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association. He said Wisconsin growers know what to do when change happens slowly.
When you're looking at fast changes, you need to know the whys. And that's where our researchers come into play.
They're able to look at changes happening at a molecular level and see how the cranberries are being affected and also the symbiotic relationship that plants have with other organisms in the ground.
They're seeing how that bacteria inside of the soil is helping with nitrogen uptake. They're making sure that the fungus in the ground is helping us with water uptake.
Gabby Myers is the Research and Education Manager for the Wisconsin Cranberry Research and Education Foundation. She coordinates efforts from researchers across the state.
They're trying to create better cranberries, so maybe they're sweeter, firmer. So all different sorts of traits that they're trying to breed for, we provide a space for them to have those plots established.
Hybrid cranberry varieties are helping farmers diversify their marshes, producing more fruit on less land, and spreading out the harvest season.
They're trying to be able to make it to where harvest doesn't all happen in the same 2 weeks, because that's where you need extra equipment, you need extra people. It's just a terrible time if you have to do that.
Harvest season now starts as early as September and can run through October or later, depending on the year.
Reporter Melissa Kay for Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and highs in the low to mid-70s. Rain is likely tonight, a low around 46. Sunday, windy with a high around 59. Northwest winds gust to 30 miles per hour. On Monday, partly sunny and a high around 66.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a very disconcerting and busy news and sports weekend. We will sit down and discuss it all with our friend and colleague of Matt Nair on Air, Jay and Matt Nair. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Happy Saturday morning to you all. Welcome into another edition of Make the Call here on the Civic Media Sports Network. And as always, I, Jimmy Cuska, am happy to be joined by our roundtable this week. And once again, it includes Conrad Krieger hanging out over in Green Bay. Conrad, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
We head north and we'll be joined this week as well by Gray Gunderson in Park Falls. Gray, what's it like in the Great North right now?
Northward, that's for sure. The only guarantee I'll make. Good morning, Jimmy.
I imagine that foliage is very high on the list of vernacular for people visiting your part of the state. And we head south to Madison, where Parker Olson is hanging out. Parker, what's up, man?
It's getting colorful down here, too. It's not all north. Come on.
Yeah, well, I'm looking here in the Driftless area, and there are definitely some changing of the leaves, and that certainly lends itself to the changing of the sports seasons. As we wrap up baseball season, we are now deep into football season, and once you know it, hockey and basketball are already underway. It is time for our top seven at seven, our top seven sports stories here at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. And we start at number seven. Let's talk about it. The Packers kicking situation. This is the most important thing we've ever talked about on this show. Gray, tell us all about the kickers in Green Bay.
Jimmy, the statement that I was preparing when you said this was so important was that this might be the least important thing simply because we might get McManus back so fast. But I wanted to highlight Lucas Haversick and his incredible performance against the Bengals in Green Bay about a week ago as of tomorrow. I wanted to specifically highlight that that was a departure from his previous abilities. If you look at Haversick in the NFL, he was 15 for 20. Before this year, he was formerly a kicker for the Rams when they had some needs, played in 9 games total, 75% field goal percentage, and especially he struggled from 40 to 49 yards, where he was only 2 for 6. Whereas in Green Bay, he's currently 2 for 2 on field goals, 100%, plus the extra points that he made. And I have myself sitting here wondering, is this the K-ball in action? Are we about to see kickers who have dropped out or failed coming back because they're better than they used to be, or actually because the ball is better than it used to be?
Parker, the substitute kicker who was about to become a substitute teacher, has certainly made this a fun talking point this week.
Oh gosh, yeah, you gotta love a backup kicker. Those are just the guys that really make you really think about the variety you get on a football team. I'm really excited about the fact that the Packers didn't skip a beat with them, which is pretty incredible, because apparently it would appear that most of the time the NFL can't find 32 guys who can kick a ball. So this is pretty incredible that the Packers actually found somebody.
Well, it always goes back to that old adage, when you have two kickers, you've got two kickers. Number six in our top seven at seven, the Badgers basketball program begins its work this season tomorrow with the red-white scrimmage. They will have exhibition games against Oklahoma and then against UW-Platteville here in the month of October. What are your expectations for the team this season now that they're ranked in the top 25? Parker?
Well, of course, it's going to be a really tough exhibition game against those Pioneers down there in Platteville, Jimmy. Got to be careful about that.
Swing the axe.
Swing the axe. But no, the Badgers, I think, coming off of what I would call a kind of disappointing NCAA run last year, you would like to see them get back to that NCAA, move themselves a little bit further in. Let's get to that second weekend. Let's make some plays. Not something that we've really seen too much in the last couple of years. But you know what? There's a lot of turnover, I think, on this team. It'll be pretty interesting to follow who's stepping up for the Badgers here as we keep moving on. Evolving landscape in basketball.
Conrad, the Badgers, again, top 20, I think number 24 in the preseason poll. So expectations are certainly from the media and from coaches that they'll be all right. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, last year we saw a great team. We lost John Tajay to the draft, obviously, but we get John Blackwell back. So I'm really excited about that. But we also got a transfer of Nick Boyd, who averaged 13 last year. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I expect the Badgers to always be in the top 25 this year.
Number five in our top seven at seven, Micah Parsons' stat totals have been coming under scrutiny, especially ahead of last week's game when he had fewer tackles than a Bengals wide receiver. Well, this week he had some comments in the media, and if you look at the film, Conrad, you're seeing Micah Parsons trying to escape chokeholds and suplexes to get to the quarterback. How do you look at his performance so far with the Packers?
I mean, I still think he's doing a great job. Pressuring the quarterback is huge. Just because he doesn't get the sack doesn't mean he doesn't make an impact on the play. So I think he's still doing a phenomenal job this year.
Great. They're paying him a lot of money. And it certainly seems that if you're looking just at the raw stat totals, you might be missing out on the overall impact.
You will be 100% missing out on the raw impact because he's not even in the top 10 in the league in sack count this year, though he is in Pro Football Focus's top seven or so when it comes to ratings. I don't necessarily abide by those, but I like looking at a system that's consistently rating people just to see. And most rating systems agree he is still top 10. But you want a simple indicator? Watch how many people block him on every single play. When other NFL teams start leaving him alone with just one guy, then I'll start to worry because they'll see that they don't need to block him. But I'll tell you what, $47 million is absolutely worth a double team on every play, and that's still what he's getting. So what I'm more worried about is that injury last week to Lucas Van Ness, one of the guys who's been feasting due to what Parsons has made possible. He made it off the field under his own power against the Bengals, but Van Ness was carted to the locker room and has been on the report this week with a foot injury. We need him for the run defense option there.
Number four. Wow, I can't count. Number four in our top seven at seven. How does the NLCS change your view of this year's Brewers? Gray, back to you.
My first impression is that it's the question. I'm the football guy. It's going to happen. Salary cap. As the outside looking in fan, it's the tail. And I know we're going to chat about this a little bit later too, but when we've got this disparity, when the luxury tax is a quarter of what our opponents is, and you get absolutely dominated, okay, yes, we swept them in earlier in the season, but you got to at least ask the question, does the money matter? And obviously people will have different opinions, but that to me proves we've got to ask the question.
Parker, your take on the Brewers.
Ah, man, it's just so disappointing to see what has happened here in the NLCS. And frankly, even in the NLDS, it was really disappointing. But you know what? It was the best Brewer team ever. I don't think that there's much of an argument there. It was the best record that they've had. I'm happy, but I'm sad right now.
Number three in the top seven at seven. If the Badgers don't compete in the next couple of games, will there be a new head coach in Madison? Parker, this one's for you.
I honestly don't think so. Jimmy, we've talked about this before. The Badgers don't have a ton of dough. They don't have a lot of money that will allow them to get rid of Luke Fickell, essentially. They've got a couple of really tough games here coming up, obviously today against Ohio State, next week against Oregon. Then they've got a chance against Washington, who is not a marquee team. So maybe they pick up a win there. If they don't, I'm going to be pretty upset. But I still don't think that the Badgers are going to be willing to cough up, what is it, $45 million?
Number two in our top seven at seven. This is a 10 seconds or less prediction segment, and we're going to hit all three of you guys for this. Packers versus Cardinals game prediction for Sunday. We'll start with Conrad.
I expect us to win. Maybe not by a lot of points, but I hope that the defense steps up big at the end of the game.
Greg Gunderson.
Packers victory unless Marvin Harrison Jr. plays and plays well.
Parker.
Packers 31, Cardinals 24.
Seconded.
Yeah.
There we go. Number one in our top seven at seven. And we are going to talk about basketball a little bit here. Just curious, Conrad, we watched the Bucks sign Thanasis Antetokounmpo and now Alex Antetokounmpo. Sure seems like the Bucks are pretty desperate to keep Giannis. How desperate are the Bucks to keep Giannis in Milwaukee?
I mean, he's the team. Like, without Giannis, this team is not going to make playoffs. With Giannis right now, I could see him potentially getting into a seven or eight still. But they need Giannis to have the Bucks keep going, keep rolling every year. So they need him.
We're going to get more on Packers and Brewers, Badgers, Bucks coming up now with Mike Clemens, our Civic Media sports reporter. This has been the top seven at seven here on Make the Call on the Civic Media Sports Network. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Brewers' season comes to an end. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers were once again dominated by the Dodgers in Los Angeles last night, L.A. winning 5-1 to complete a four-game sweep of Milwaukee. The Dodgers' starting pitcher, Shohei Ohtani, named the series MVP after pitching six scoreless innings, striking out 10 batters, and hitting three home runs in the game, one that actually left the ballpark. Brian Anderson with a call on TBS. That ball traveled 469 feet over the stands in right center field. The Brewers going from the best record in baseball to runners-up in the postseason again. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've talked about being an inch from the top and an inch from the bottom. And we faced a really, really talented team that played really, really good. We were part of tonight, an iconic, maybe the best individual performance ever in a postseason game.
The defending champion Dodgers returning to the World Series. Manager Dave Roberts.
There's a reason why he's the greatest player on the planet. You know, what he did on the mound, what he did at the bat, he created a lot of memories for a lot of people. And so for us to, you know, to do it in a game, clinching game at home, wins the NLCS MVP, pretty special. And I'm just happy to be able to go along for the ride.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers with a huge challenge today. They're trying to end a four-game losing streak. This afternoon, they'll host the number one ranked team in the nation, the undefeated Ohio State Buckeyes. Badgers head coach Luke Fickle.
I mean, there's nothing to lose. And I think that sometimes some of the things that hold us back is just, you know, our own selves in a way that, like, look, we try to be perfect. And the recognition that if you're going to go out there and you're going to do anything against number one team in the country, you can't be held back by, you know, being perfect, because being perfect is not going to get us what we need to get.
Kickoff today at 2:30 at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. NFL, the Packers fly out to Arizona later today to face the Cardinals. Tomorrow afternoon, game time 3:25. Wide receiver Christian Watson will have to wait yet another week. He's still not been cleared to play, returning from ACL surgery. This week, Hall of Famer Steve Young was on ESPN and said when he was with the 49ers back in the 1990s, it took just as much time to study as a quarterback in the NFL as it took him as a law student in college.
The reason why I was able to find what I hope was a pretty fine line of when to go and how to stay and how to be sophisticated and how to still threaten and how to do all that became when I owned all the data. There was more required of memorization week to week in preparing to own the data for an NFL football game. And in owning the data, and you think about recent history with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, really showed you and like ad infinitum how much information they had to take in and own reflexively. In other words, I didn't memorize it so I could spit it back in, you know, in a room, a quiet room. I can reflexively spit it out. It comes in my mind, and I have all these ideas of what is the tendency for the defense? What's the blitz tendency in the red zone? What happens in goal line? What's the formation? How much? It's all happening real time. And when your brain can slow down because you have owned all of that information reflexively, now your athleticism can come out.
I asked Matt LaFleur, how does he judge if Jordan Love is able to prep with that much detail the week of a game?
Yeah, it's always, I mean, there's going to be homework. And that's what, I think that's what the great ones do. And I think that's what our quarterback does. And, you know, it just, every guy's a little bit different in terms of how they're able to retain whatever it is that you're telling them. And I think Jordan's got unbelievable recall, and it the longer we've been together, the easier he gets it. So now we got a great test this week. I think like we mentioned, this defense, they do a lot of things that are going to test you in regards to showing you one thing, playing another, and having complimentary looks.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks wrapped up the preseason with a record of 3-1. Next Wednesday, they'll have their season opener at home against the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Bucks forward Bobby Portis and getting ready for opening night.
You know, you got 5 days, get your legs back under you, get back into a great spot mentally, physically, and then it's time to roll. Obviously, once the season starts, think our, like our like first 10, 11 games, like every other day or something like that. So I think it's vital that guys get their legs up under them, get their win back and things like that.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Parker Olson. Earlier this year, Madison West athletes had to fight for their right to be on the team because of their disabilities. We now talk with one of those athletes and her father. We're now joined by Raj and Asha Shakla from Madison West High School. Asha, you and another swimmer over at Madison West are really going through something that I don't think that a lot of people would have expected to have to go through, because, you know, for the last couple of years, you've had your accommodations to be able to swim at Madison West. First, can you tell me how important, and thank you, by the way, for joining us. Can you tell me how important it was to you for those first couple of years of high school to be allowed on the team with those accommodations? How meaningful is it to be on a team?
It's good to know the meaning of teamwork coming from my teammates. And I just love being part of something that's bigger than a single person.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you guys so much for being able to come and join us here on Make the Call on the Civic Media Radio Network to talk about this. Asha, how did they tell you this year that you weren't going to have your accommodations to be on the team?
Not in person.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, we were sent an email kind of after tryouts had already happened. We were sent an email saying that the way things had happened in previous years was going to be different this year. and that Asha would be required to, well, at first she was not offered an opportunity to try out, and then eventually was offered an opportunity to try out for the team, but against the time standards that typically developing athletes were using, which is a really high bar to for somebody with joint laxity and with challenges building muscle and things like that that Asha deals with. So it was kind of a big surprise to all of us.
Yeah, I cannot imagine having had that for those first 2 years, and then all of a sudden that happens to you. Can we move into why were those taken away?
Do you want me to talk? I can talk about it. Apparently, what we were told was that there was increased interest in the swim program, and that cuts needed to be made in order to accommodate the space and things like that. And that's something that I understand. We all understand as student athletes, you might not make the team in any given year. And that's kind of how it goes. And the team has a lot of flexibility on how they can make those decisions. The difference here is that people with disabilities are protected by areas of law. The IDEA and the ADA require that a school district and a school program either accommodate, make reasonable accommodations to allow participation with people with disabilities, or tell us why they can't make reasonable accommodations. And in this case, the district was insisting on doing neither. They weren't providing a reason for why Asha couldn't swim with the team, and weren't going to make it the accommodations that they had been making for 2 years prior to that. So we thought that was unfair, and the rest is history.
Absolutely. So, and you guys did have to make a bit of, you had to get some attention for this to get changed back into your favor. You guys spoke to the school board, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Asha, what was it like talking to the school board?
That's my first ever school board meeting, Dad.
That was your first ever school board meeting?
I've never been to a school board meeting in person.
Yeah.
But that did feel of emotions of empowerment.
Yeah. You felt like you could do something, and you did.
Yeah. No, that's the only change I could make.
Absolutely. And you guys had, it sounds like, quite a lot of support from the community as well. And even your own teammates, right? How important was it to you to have those people right there with you?
It's not just them. Their parents did. The coaches from the pool that we met during the summer at Hill Farms. All of them that's pitched in, helped out, and I'm glad they did.
Absolutely, yeah. And by the way, for folks at home, you were an exhibition swimmer on the team, right? You're not on the varsity program too. So Raj, to your point about the numbers of the program, it's a different number too. So it's kind of interesting circumstance there.
Yeah, we're pretty baffled by the school district stance on this, especially given we know that the coaching staff at West, and we know that the school administration at West, they are the ones who started this program at West High School. We know they wanted to continue the program, and we suspect that somewhere in the school district, some other decisions were made, and they just decided that they didn't want to make these accommodations anymore. And fortunately for Asha, there is a body of law, though, that you have to contend with when you're dealing with this. And fortunately for all of us, we have a community that was willing to speak out about it and insist on the right thing happening here.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is the right thing to have happen, to have you back on this team. It's so important for you guys to have that representation and those accommodations, to be able to have fun, right? That's what high school sports are about. It's to have fun. And I hope that you've been having a fun season, right, Asha?
Yeah. And it's not just about fun. It balances out work that you just finished from school and the fun of enjoying something you love.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, I want to point out too, you were not the only one. Is it Aurelia Strauman?
Aurelia Bergstrom.
Bergstrom, yes.
Yep, Aurelia Bergstrom is the other swimmer who was affected. And thankfully, we got we made it so that both of them were going to be able to swim this year and in years to come.
Yes, absolutely. Aurelia's mom posted on Facebook after the decision that you guys could be allowed back on the team, how it was bigger than swimming, and it was about building schools and every student belongs on teams and in the community. Asha, we're so thankful that you were able to be on this team and stand up for yourself and even a incoming freshman that was going through the same thing. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on Make the Call.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Stay with us here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll have our Campus Connect segment when we come back. We'll also be joined by Jake Kokrowski from the Badger Observer, talking all things Wisconsin sports.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Organizers of the No Kings protest say they expect millions of people to turn out today at more than 2,000 events around the country protesting some Trump administration policies. Republicans are calling it Hate America rallies. President Trump's not in Washington, but while traveling to Florida for the weekend, he called on Russia and Ukraine to stop fighting.
You stop at the battle line and both sides should go home, go to their families, stop the killing, and that should be it.
That followed his White House meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky the day after he spoke by phone with Vladimir Putin. The president commuted the 7-year prison sentence for former Congressman George Santos for campaign finance and fraud crimes. The president said he always had the courage, conviction, and intelligence to vote Republican. 3 home runs and 10 strikeouts from Shohei Ohtani, an all-time effort, helped the Los Angeles Dodgers get back to the World Series. They swept the Milwaukee Brewers. This is ABC News.
The Brewers' season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers were once again dominated by the Dodgers in Los Angeles, the Dodgers winning 5-1 to complete a 4-game sweep of Milwaukee. The Brewers going from the best record in baseball to runners-up in the postseason again, manager Pat Murphy.
We've talked about being an inch from the top and an inch from the bottom, and we faced a really, really talented team that played really, really good.
The Dodgers starting pitcher, Shohei Ohtani, named the series MVP after pitching 6 scoreless innings, striking out 10 batters, and hitting 3 home runs in the game, one that left the ballpark.
There's a reason why he's the greatest player on the planet. You know, what he did on the mound, what he did at the bat, he created a lot of memories for a lot of people. And so for us to do it in a game, clinching game at home, wins the NLCS MVP, pretty special. And I'm just happy to be able to go along for the ride.
That's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a more efficient way to watch TV, this might be a deal for you. You can now bundle Apple TV with Peacock. Apple TV is already ad-free, but if you pair it with Peacock Premium Plus, which is Peacock's version of ad-free, it will cost you $19.99 a month. That's barely a savings from current prices, but if you go with the ad-supported Peacock, you can get both platforms for $14.99. Apple TV right now is currently $12.99, so that's not a bad deal, if you don't mind a few ads. It was pretty much a given Taylor Swift's new album, The Life of a Showgirl, was going to break records. According to Variety, Showgirl sold 4 million units in its first week. The old record was 3.5 million units for a week, which was previously held by Adele, according to Billboard. Swift also set a record, now having the most number one solo albums, breaking a tie she held with Jay-Z and Drake. She trails only the Beatles, who hold the record for all artists with 19 number one albums. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and highs in the low to mid 70s. Rain is likely tonight, a low around 46. Sunday, windy with a high around 59. Northwest winds gust to 30 miles per hour. On Monday, partly sunny and a high around 66.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey.
The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call. Jimmy Cuska here with you alongside our roundtable of Parker Olson, Conrad Krieger, and Greg Gunderson. And in our third segment, we go into our Campus Connection segment. And we started off this week again with Jake Kokorowski of BadgerObserver.com. There's a lot to observe this week, as today it'll be the Badgers taking on Ohio State. I've seen all of the tweets and all of the short videos of the kick return and all the things from, you know, these days where we used to feel warm and fuzzy about the Badgers. We're not feeling that way lately. The Badgers have really struggled this season, Jake, and I think that eyes on this game are going to be watching to see just how bad maybe it can get.
It's, you know, with what happened against Iowa, 37-0, the fact that they put such an emphasis against the Hawkeyes, the 42 push-ups, or the, you know, some finisher, which is just an exercise at the end of practice, or some component of their off-season training being dedicated towards Iowa and Minnesota for the lopsided losses last year, and then you see them come out with a 37-0 loss, and just uncharacteristic, and also kind of just undisciplined play was not, you know, is rough. And then of course there was a game that you could possibly put on the calendar in the month of October for this 2025 season that they could have gotten a win. It would have been against Iowa, who, you know, doesn't have their running back from last year, and the, you know, and they haven't generated as many turnovers. Well, that was null and void on Saturday. So it is tough where you have the number one team in the nation, Ohio State, the toughest wide receiving core in the nation that Ricardo Hallman and the Wisconsin secondary are going to have to try to contain. And it's going to be a tough matchup, and we'll see what they can do on offense that, you know, offense that is just sputtering is kind of putting it as an understatement right now.
How much is that related just to not solving the quarterback issues, right, with the injuries and everything else that's happened? How much is that tied to that?
I would argue, I mean, it definitely plays a role, right? Billy Edwards Jr. comes in, was the starter kind of right off the bat, is a leader, kind of someone that, you know, has previous starting experience in the Big Ten. And he, you know, it's unfortunate what happened, you know, what you saw, like how he exited the game against Miami, Ohio, and then he tries to go against his former team, Maryland, and just second series realizes he can't go. But you saw some of the spark in that game against Maryland where he hits Trech Kekahuna for 45 yards. You know, unfortunately for Badger fans, and you saw a blocked field goal, which is part of the issues of Wisconsin right now in terms of not playing complementary football. And that's part of it too, where quarterbacks, you know, Danny O'Neill had some flashes. He's got moxie. He's a gunslinger. You see that, but you obviously saw his, you know, propensity for turnovers right now. He wasn't able to protect the ball, you know, had four or five interceptions in four games. And then Hunter Simmons is a, you know, FCS quarterback, came from Southern Illinois, was supposed to be depth. And then you're starting to see him, you know, he's got a start at Michigan. Who thought that you'd expect an FCS quarterback to, you know, transfer, come in and start against in one of the toughest road environments in college football. And then follow that up with, he played well at Michigan, and then, well, you know, he didn't obviously against Iowa. And a couple, one of the interceptions wasn't his fault, but two of the other turnovers were. And so that's where, yeah, it's tough. It's this offense was, you know, I think this offense is what Wisconsin needed in getting back to a run emphasis and then trying to throw downfield. It's what I think a lot of people wanted towards the end of the Paul Chryst era, right? But in, it was very one-sided towards the run game there, but you're just not seeing it. But and, I mean, the other part of it's just, you know, they've had six different starting offensive line combinations this year due to injuries and inadequate play. And they're, you know, that's, you're midway through the year now. You know, there's got to be some answers figuring out what they can do on what's supposed to be a strength for Wisconsin, you know, year in and year out.
Jake, this kind of game too lends itself to being, you know, one of those games where you're going to see a whole lot of high school student athletes on the sideline wearing the big old badges for sideline access. It's a big recruiting game for Wisconsin as they bring people in. How much does the outcome of a game like this, you know, affect maybe the decisions of these guys? If they see the Badgers go out there and just look listless again, I mean, how is that going to affect? I know recruiting is, you know, kind of the cornerstone of Luke Fickell's run here. So it's just interesting that, you know, now they're playing a game against Ohio State and you're gonna have all these recruits watching this. I mean, what's the effect if they go out there and they lay an egg?
I mean, it's one of those things too, where you're trying to figure out with Wisconsin, you mean, Wisconsin can flip it towards those recruits where if they get beat bad, it's one of the things like, hey, this is why we need you. We need to change the culture. We need to change. We need to bring in more talent. We need, like, you can help. I mean, you can always, with recruits, sometimes it's like, oh, I could come in and play early. Right. It's one of those things where you're seeing that type of, especially in this day and age with recruiting in general, is like, hey, can I get early playing time? I mean, you know, it's, and other things, and you're going to need some development, but you know, we've already seen Wisconsin utilize true freshmen, you know, first year players like Mason Post, like Cooper Catalano at linebacker and others, at, you know, early on. And even last year, Darion Dupree was a freshman at running back and was the number two back. So, you know, like some of the players that are expected from what I've heard, you know, are offensive linemen within the state, like Ethan McIntosh, the son of Wisconsin athletic director Chryst McIntosh, Hunter and Reese Ballinger from Sussex Hamilton. So, I mean, it's one thing where they can tell you basically, hey, I, you know, like, we need you to play, you know, this is why you should come here, because we need you. We need the infusion of talent and you could have an opportunity to compete. But it is, yeah, it's tough too, seeing a program that's lost, you know, four straight, and we'll see what happens against Ohio State.
Jake Kokorowski from BadgerObserver.com. Thanks as always for your insights. And we look forward to talking to you again next week.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
That's Jay Kokorowski again, BadgerObserver.com. You can sign up. There's a lot of stories that come through, even if you're not a paid subscriber. I know myself got sucked into about six of those stories this week just to read up on things coming up this week with the Badgers and trying to find maybe that sliver of hope, that silver lining that maybe things aren't as bad as we think they are with football. He'll be covering volleyball as well. They had a big match last night. They play again tomorrow. And then, of course, Badgers men's basketball as the Red-White scrimmage tomorrow. And BadgerObserver.com will have all of that. It's time now to slide over in our campus connection to our local colleges across the Civic Media Network. And in a lot of our markets, we've got a WIAC school or even a Division III school. And so we focus our attention a lot on the WIAC because that is where Parker Olson and I have spent a lot of our time. So again, we talk about the WIAC this week. And well, all eyes are on one particular city this week, Parker, because we've got Pat Coleman from D3Football.com. We've got the D1 Rejects podcast, and they're all coming right here to southern or southwestern Wisconsin in Platteville. It's the place to be this weekend, Parker.
Absolutely. You got an absolutely huge game there for the Pioneers hosting against UW Lacrosse. Lacrosse, in my mind, has been the favorite from the get-go to win the automatic bid to go to the playoffs in the WIAC. But, you know, Platteville, I think maybe coming into the year, people thought that they were going to be another really good top 10 team. And I think a lot of people might still think that. Platteville, I don't know how much of that game you got to watch last week, Jimmy. Platteville didn't look very good against River Falls, and they dropped a game up there. So I'm not sure how much of a test this will be for a lacrosse team that's, in my mind, just about on cruise control to win the conference.
Yeah, Platteville has dealt with some injuries. They're also very young on offense. They only had seven starters in their whole roster, in their whole deep. I shouldn't say roster. I should say two deep. Seven players in their two deep who are seniors. So they're a very young team, and they graduated a lot of talent from a conference championship team a year ago. It's why coming into this year, when I filled out my D3Football.com ballot for the top 25, I've consistently kept Platteville probably three or four spots lower than what the poll actually averages out to. Just knowing that, you know, when they go up against these teams that brought back a lot, River Falls brings back Caleb Blaha and like 75% of its offensive production. You know, you see, you know, Whitewater graduated a lot, but the guys that are moving in are guys who have been key contributors on special teams or have come in as depth in games and done a good job. And you see, you know, Stout playing in the Isthmus Bowl where they get down big and then rally against a very good Wheaton team that should have been in the playoffs last year. There's a lot of talent top to bottom in the conference. And I think just in general with six ranked teams, it tells you that once again, no matter what week you're in, I know that Eau Claire and Stevens Point are having their struggles, but for the most part, you know, there's no weeks off in the conference. And I don't think anybody, including lacrosse, is emerging unscathed from the WIAC. I think that like the past few years, it's going to be a team that has dropped a game, maybe two games, to win the conference title, Parker.
It'll be interesting to see if anyone can get a win off of lacrosse. I'm really not too sure. I think they're a very beatable team coming into this.
Well, they're season. In a tough stretch. I mean, they got Oshkosh coming up, and then Stout, and Stout's been frisky too. And you know, that's the thing is that there's a lot of really good teams here in the league. And you know, I know we're looking at today's game, lacrosse, Platteville, River Falls, Stevens Point, and Oshkosh, Eau Claire. The other ones, Whitewater and Stout, had their game last night in Whitewater. A packed crowd as always. They moved those games to Friday because of the state marching band competition. Just a quick last thought. We are quickly turning the calendar to the fall sports playoffs. Just curious about your thoughts, and Gray and Conrad, you're able to chime in on this. Your thoughts about now the WIAC announcing this week they are going to a pay-per-view model for their conference tournament games and championship games. So just curious about your guys' thoughts on that.
I've got a brief one. Sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Parker.
No, go for it, Gray. You're going to have the outsider perspective on this. I'm really interested more than you.
That's exactly what I wanted. And my first thought was, oh no, another wall between me and something that I'm already not engaging in. But at the same time, I need to recognize that I'm not in the know with the conference and what this actually could mean for them. So while I do have an initial negative gut reaction to anything pay-per-view, that's mostly because I've spent most of my life broke. So I'll kind of step back and say it could be good if it's implemented correctly. And if we see some early adoption and uptake, then that can turn into some momentum that could be some profitability, and that can be reinvested back into the program. So if that eventuality comes to pass, it might be what eventually pulls me in. But if you start the sentence with pay-per-view, I end the sentence with no thanks. That's just the default for me.
I think that's a pretty common sentiment, especially in Division III sports. Let's be honest, there aren't a ton of people watching to begin with, and there are fewer people who are watching who are willing to pay for it. And this, too, is going to mainly affect smaller sports, I think. There, with the exception of basketballs, and men's and women's, and baseball, you're not going to have the massive crowds that watch football paying to watch football, because football isn't part of this. This is only going to be Wyatt Conference tournaments.
Include football technically, Parker, because the conference bowl game in the Isthmus Bowl is a pay-per-view and has been for the past 4 years, which is why that's kind of what's been the. They talk about this being a test, but this is they've already kind of run the test with the bowl game. But I was just curious about it because, you know, this seems to be the trend in sports, and it's not just D3, it's everything where, you know, getting to watch a Packers or a Brewers game, for example. I have not watched a single postseason Brewers game because I don't have a way to access it at home, right? So sure. I've mostly just had the radio and Twitter, right, to follow along. So that's the kind of the rub too, is that, you know, everybody's trying to make their money and get their, you know, make sure that you see their ads and, you know, all that. So I was just curious about it. We don't have a lot of time left in this segment, so we're just going to quickly move into the calendar. And I do want to get Gray and Conrad's thoughts on the Packers game. They take on Arizona this week. Start with Conrad. Just looking ahead to the Packers game, we've got about a minute and a half here before we wrap the segment. Just Packers, Cardinals, what are some of your thoughts?
You know, last week I said against the Bengals, I said, well, let's get this run game started. And we did. I really liked what I saw from the offensive line and Josh Jacobs. So I expect that to keep moving against the Cardinals. And I expect Josh Jacobs to have another big game.
Gray, I mean, this is a Packers team that, you know, now that they're, you know, picked up the win last week, a little underwhelming perhaps, but, you know, another opportunity this week to play the Cardinals, who I imagine a lot of Packers fans probably don't know a whole lot about.
Agreed. I would say the Cardinals have fallen off a lot of people's radar, but they shouldn't. And I'll give you one quick, simple reason why, Jimmy, because I know we're running out of time. Yes, the Cardinals have four losses. Yes, two of those losses are to teams that are pretty downright terrible. However, all four losses come at a combined total of 9 points differential. They've taken those four losses by 9 total points. They don't have a two-score loss, which means if Marvin Harrison Jr. first of all plays and plays well, it could be all they need to tip the scale on a victory, an upset, and they're right back in the conversation.
Packers and Cardinals can be heard tomorrow across the Civic Media Sports Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The conservative majority of the U.S. Supreme Court appeared to agree October 15th with arguments that the Voting Rights Act Section 2's majority-minority voting districts conflicted with the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. A decision is expected next year. Chief Justice John Roberts signaled that the court's 2023 Milligan precedent, a very similar case, may not apply to Louisiana versus Calais. Justice Kagan later pointed out that the court rejected several similar arguments by the state of Alabama defending its discrimination. Louisiana argued that the court-mandated majority-minority districts giving minority voters an equal chance to elect the candidate of their choice puts the state in a position to discriminate against other voters. Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett both voiced support for an endpoint to sunset such opportunity districts. The court's Jingles test, used to determine if a group qualifies for such a district, was also questioned by the conservative justices. In her opening argument, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund's Janae Nelson said that should the court strike down Section 2, it would be, quote, a staggering reversal of precedent that would throw maps across the country into chaos. There are 148 VRA majority-minority districts in 28 states, according to Ballotpedia. We've linked a transcript of the arguments at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump still thinks he's a game show host at The Apprentice. Heard this great perspective about Tiffany not getting Trump's endorsement. If Josh Schumann feels like he's got to take some shots at Tiffany, which might weaken him, but it makes him look better to Trump to maybe get the endorsement, this is what Trump likes. He doesn't have any incentive to endorse Tiffany as long as he can keep playing him and Schumann off each other.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
Welcome back to Make the Call. I'm Jimmy Cuska, taking you along for this final segment. Well, week 9 of the high school football season is in the books, and we are on to the playoffs. The full playoff field will be announced at 10 a.m. today, so if you're looking forward to seeing where your team is in the bracket, there's a lot of projections out there on the internet, but the official word does not come until later today. 10 a.m., they'll release the brackets and the pairings, and you can find that at Bound Wisconsin, and you can follow the live broadcast on WIAA's TV stream or on any of a number of TV stations around the state. Let's talk a little bit about some of the games we had on our airwaves last night. Just a handful of games for Week 9. We had a lot of stations and Brewers coverage. But we can tell you that over on WRPN, Ripon got a shutout victory over Adams Friendship 35-0 last night. If we head to the southwestern part of the state, it was Prairie du Chien defeating Richland Center 50-30, that game airing on WRCO. WXCO had a broadcast, and in that matchup, it was River Falls defeating Wausau West 56-19. Speaking of WXCO, they will kick off our playoff coverage across the Civic Media Sports Network. It'll be Newman Catholic at Frederick in the Level 1 8-player playoff. That broadcast coverage begins at 12:35 today on WXCO. You can find it on the free Civic Media app. With all the conference championships wrapped up, it's time to look forward to the postseason. We already have the 8-player bracket, and those games begin today across Wisconsin. 11-player playoffs begin in 6 days, and here are the projected 1 seeds for all of high school football across Wisconsin. In Division 1, the projected 1 seeds include Muskego, Franklin, Arrowhead, and Wanakee. In Division 2, West Appear, Notre Dame, River Falls, and Homestead. In Division 3, Grafton, Catholic Memorial, New Berlin West, and Edgewood. In Division 4, Racine St. Catharines, Columbus, Aquinas, and Winneconne. In Division 5, Grantsburg, Maryville, Tomahawk, and Lake Country Lutheran. In Division 6, Darlington, Manitowoc Lutheran, Edgar, and Regis. And in Division 7, Kenosha St. Joseph's, Cochrane Fountain City, Lourdes Academy, and Blackhawk Warren. Again, those are the projected number 1 seeds in the playoff field, which will be officially announced at 10 a.m. today by the WIAA. Before we wrap up the show, it is time to take a quick look at the upcoming Packers game. Mike Clements caught up with Packers center Elgton Jenkins and talked about this Sunday's matchup, which you can hear on 4 different stations across the Civic Media Sports Network. Here's Mike Clements.
All right, thanks with Packers center Elgton Jenkins. Congratulations on a win against the Bengals. Big day for Josh Jacobs, not only running the football, but also catching. And you see Jordan back there with time to throw, but, you know, more mobility. How do you guys feel that you graded out against Cincinnati?
I think we did fairly decent. I feel like we left a little meat on the bones, you know, in the run game. I feel like we did fairly decent, you know. Right now, it's just in our room, the main thing is just, you know, just keep getting better each week. But I think we did fairly decent, though.
I'm not going to get into details. I know you guys have got some guys playing through pain.
What you mean?
Like Zach.
I mean, yeah, that's the game. Honestly, this is what we signed up for. You know, especially if it's something that you can manage. You know, we always want the guys out there, but obviously you got to stand on your own 10. But, I definitely feel like we got the guys in the room that if they can go, you know, they're going to go. And, you know, we just need everybody out there, you know, to battle.
Elton, you were mic'd up for the game. So do you often ask the opposition what defense they're going to call? Because I saw you talking to T.J. Slate, your old teammate. Like, what are you guys going to run?
Hey, they get six. They get six. T.J., what y'all in? What y'all basing them? What y'all basing them?
That would be helpful if they did that, wouldn't it?
I mean, for sure it would. But, you know, T.J., you know, one of the guys that been here, you know, the last past 4 years. So I was just joking around with him a little bit. You know, nice to see guys that, you know, you play with out there, you know, still striving, doing good. So.
Did he oblige? Did he help out?
Nah, he didn't tell. He just started laughing.
What the hell's up with that?
Yeah. Wish he would have gave us something. But, I mean, you could tell. But, no, I was just out there playing, just playing with him, having fun. You know, the game was, I don't know where we was at in the game, but I think we was up like two scores or something like that. You know, just messing around with him.
Well, you know, and you gotta have fun and understand that at the end of the day, you're still going to be friends and old teammates and all that, but you got a job to do with Packers center Elgton Jenkins. So Arizona, you know, I see Clayus Campbell out there, but you know what people aren't talking about? They signed Josh Sweat. I mean, you guys faced him. He had a couple of sacks against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. What do you guys, are you guys talking about him? And does he put his hand on the ground? Does he stand up when he comes after their quarterback?
I think they do. He do both. Honestly, it depends on the front that they give us. But yeah, obviously he's a great player. Well, he's a good player and good, however you want to say it, in his league. But we definitely got the guys on the edge out there that can control that. You know, we just got to go out there and play our best game. And they got a good front, honestly. We just got to be on our stuff. You know what I'm saying? We got to be on our ones and twos and just go out there and compete.
Cardinals have a new defensive line coach. I mean, what can we expect to see with your Packers' offensive line against Arizona this Sunday?
You're going to get our best, obviously. You know, I always want to run the ball. You know, get the ball is always good when you can get the ball to eight and let him do his thing, him, two, three, whoever out there, and then just protect for Jay Love, let him do his thing. But it's going to be a battle. We got to make sure we keep on preparing for it.
It's always fun to watch you play, Elton.
Oh, yeah, man. Appreciate it, man. You know, just trying to get better every day. You know, every week go 1-0 and just keep building off my performances.
All right, that again, Mike Clemens with Packers center Elton Jenkins. The Packers play the Cardinals tomorrow across the Civic Media Sports Network. Coming up later today on Civic Media Sports, we've got the Badgers taking on Ohio State in football. 12:30 coverage, 2:30 kickoff on five of the stations in the Civic Media Sports Empire. Coming up on Sunday, again, the Packers, and then next week we are on to high school football playoffs across Wisconsin. Exciting time of the year, to be sure. Also, one final note, the Brewers season wrapped up on Friday night with a loss to the Dodgers, swept in the NLCS, but the Brewers will be back on five Civic Media stations next spring. Big thanks to Conrad Krieger, Parker Olson, and Greg Gunderson, our roundtable for today's Make the Call. Thanks to Jake Kokorowski for joining us as well, and as always, to Civic Media sports reporter Mike Clemens. I'm Jimmy Cuska. You've been listening to Make the Call on the Civic Media Sports Network. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Organizers of the No Kings protest movement say millions of people are expected at more than 2,000 demonstrations across the country today protesting Trump administration policies. ABC's Alex Stone has more.
Here in L.A., there are worries about counter-protesters getting involved in the events today. Back in June, they were peaceful through the day, the No Kings Day rallies that went on, and then they devolved into violence later on in the night. There is that concern. Police telling us no known credible threats. We're seeing some chatter online, but they will be keeping an eye on today.
Republicans are calling these Hate America rallies and say they're contributing to the government shutdown, which is now in day 18. President Trump commuted the 7-year prison sentence of former Congressman George Santos, who pled guilty to fraud and campaign finance charges. And the president also called on Ukraine and Russia to stop fighting now after his Friday meeting at the White House with Ukrainian President Zelensky. This is ABC News.